The latest banking scandal is brought to you by Iran.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The British firm Standard Chartered Bank isn't a bank you'll find on every corner in the United States, even though it processes almost $200 billion worth of global transactions every day. But it could soon have its banking license revoked in the nation's financial center because of allegations that the bank has been hiding tens of thousands of secret transactions with Iran. The BBC's Karen Hagen has been covering this story, and she joins us from London to discuss. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, so what exactly is being alleged here?
What's alleged is that Standard Chartered illegally hid transactions with Iran. And it seems that what they ultimately are accused of doing is removing a code, sequence of numbers attached to certain transactions, which would have identified the fact that they were to do with Iran. And this, you know, clearly it's against the New York state rules, absolutely for sure. If they are found to be guilty, they could potentially have their banking license revoked.
Well, if they were removing a code, that certainly seems like they were trying to hide something. What are they saying about this?
Well, they absolutely deny these accusations. So they are going to be defending themselves vigorously.
And I see the bank's shares are already down significantly this morning.
Yes. I mean, certainly at the start of trade in London, down by 15%. They fell by 7.5% overnight in Hong Kong. So, you know, this is clearly having a very damaging effect on them, you know, reputationally. And certainly it's coming after a series of other bad publicity, real flack sticking to banks, including, of course, HSBC, which was accused of money laundering, and also, of course, Barclays with the so-called LIBOR scandal, the rate rigging scandal.
The BBC's Karen Hagen in London, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, here in this country this week, we'll find out how some of the big retailers did last quarter. Companies like Macy's, Kohl's, Nordstrom, and JCPenney. But those earnings reports will only tell part of the story. As Marketplace's Chrissy Clark reports, early back-to-school sales are pretty revealing, too.
One of the biggest trends this year in back-to-school shopping is that it pretty much started as soon as school ended. The commercials and sales began weeks ago.
Kohl's biggest back-to-school sale, Friday through Sunday.
Nancy Kane is a Harvard professor who studies the retail industry.
Back-to-school is like in the middle of beach season.
And the early start is working. Just look at the thousands of videos that tween girls have already been posting about their back-to-school hauls.
I know school starts in September, but I went shopping.
So why the midsummer back-to-school push? Jen Drexler is a consumer trend expert at Insight Strategy Group.
Every store had to start early this year because they're afraid that the customers won't come.
And back-to-school shopping might be the perfect excuse for pent-up shoppers who are sick of being frugal, says Harvard's Nancy Kane.
Oh boy, here's a good reason to open up my wallet and take out my credit card.
Kane says the question is whether the back-to-school bump will be big enough to mean anything to the economy. So maybe next year, back-to-school can start a little later. I'm Chrissy Clark from Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading this morning, up 0.3% in Tokyo, down 0.3% right now in London. Good news from the airline industry, fewer bags were lost last year. In fact, according to the New York Times, 99.1% of the world's air travelers received their luggage. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow inched up 21 points to close at 13,117.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
In Australia, there's a new tax on greenhouse gas emissions, and it was expected to help the poor and the elderly. They got a refund to pay for basic goods like food and electricity. But as Stuart Cohen reports from Sydney, it seems that extra money is being diverted elsewhere.
Saturday night at one of the hundreds of RSL clubs across Australia, The Returned Services League is meant to be a veterans support organization, but its clubs are little more than glorified casinos. Here, you can bet on horse races or rugby or even get in on a card game. But the most popular activity is the poker machine, or pokies, as Australians call them. There are over 200,000 pokies across the country in clubs, pubs, and hotels. They rake in billions of dollars a year. Responsible gambling advocates say much of that comes from lower and middle-income problem gamblers. Official figures show that spending on pokies went up when the government sent out its first carbon tax compensation payments. They were meant to offset the rising cost of food, electricity, and other essentials for low-income earners and pensioners. But Keith DeLacy of the Reef Casino in Queensland says you can't tell people how to spend their money.
Oh, I've got no doubt that there's more money spent on the pokies. I mean, every time there's a cash handout from the government, there's an increase in revenue at all of the gaming venues. So I'm not sure what they expected.
Australians are the world's biggest gamblers. They lose more per capita than any other country. Some gamblers here lose more than $1,000 an hour on the machines. Several lawmakers are pushing for legislation to limit how much a person can lose in any one sitting. Senator Nick Xenophon is one of them. He's angry that people are spending their government rebates this way.
This is meant to be a compensation package for the carbon tax, not something that will unjustly enrich pokies operators. If the government is serious about this being a compensation package, then it ought to be done in a different way, and that could involve having rebates on electricity bills, more targeted, more directed, more effective.
The government insists that the vast majority of people receiving compensation payments are actually spending the money on everyday essentials. In Sydney, I'm Stuart Cohen for Marketplace.
And finally, to the city of Detroit, which is in the hole right now for about $200 million. And a 9-year-old boy named Joshua Smith wanted to do something about it. So he started selling lemonade, fruit punch, water, and popcorn. And by the end of last week, according to the Detroit Free Press, he had made a profit of $3,392.77. The city is going to give Joshua a scholarship as a thanks for his assistance. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.